Welcome back to the Wrestling Revolution. You got Mark Becker, my dear friend Mike Madrid. We're going to talk here. I read an article on Substack that Mikey wrote, and I really want people to read this. I'll post it. My stuff, the show will post it on their stuff, because it's really important to know kind of what has happened in our history. The article started, Mass Deportations, A Dark History Returns, and the subject is, there have been two mass deportations of Mexicans and U.S. citizens of Mexican descent that have happened before in the United States. You don't know about it because this history isn't taught, and it's not. I read this, and it was a roller coaster of emotion. I was angry. I was motivated. It was heartbreaking. Talk about, why did you write that article?
I wrote it because unless you're very in tune with sort of Latino and or Mexican American history, you don't know about this. And in fact, most Mexican Americans don't know about this because it is not taught. And this is not a small peripheral action. These two, and there have been two of them, mass deportations, they were huge. They were, you know, we're talking well over a million people were forcibly removed. And again, when the population was even much smaller. So the fact that it's not taught, I think, is probably in part, you know, for a moment like this, which is we wake up and go, can that happen? Should that be happening? What's the law about that? We have asked these questions, exactly these questions, twice before. And there's a lot that we know about what happens and what can't happen when this type of a deportation event happens over the course of a few years with a military style removal and operation.
What are the parallels that you see between any of, you know, either of the two ones in history, and is something from those two setting up what could happen here over the next couple of years?
That's a great question. So it's really important that people understand and breathe in the idea that the undocumented worker is here for a reason.
Yes.
And it's because the message goes out that there are jobs here, usually by very large enterprises. Historically, that's been in the agribusiness industry, where hundreds of thousands of workers, of labor units, people, human beings, are needed to come to pick crops so that they don't rot in the field. This has expanded as our economy has expanded, and this idea that somehow people are kind of coming in and taking jobs from Americans, white Americans is really what we're saying, is an absurd notion. We know that's not true. It's quantifiably not true, and this is not new, like I said. When things get bad, whether it's through public opinion or the economy and or both, you see a retrenchment, and this retrenchment began the first time in the Great Depression, as you pointed out in the introduction. And what happened when those dust bowlers in Oklahoma and Midwest, people were losing their homes, were being foreclosed on, and farms were being taken back by banks, there were meager but existent opportunities in the great Central Valley of California. And so there was a mass migration west where people who were poor and destitute but knew how to work the land and knew how to harvest crops could find sustenance work. The problem was there were a lot of Mexicans and Mexican-American citizens doing that work. This created a conundrum, and the Hoover administration wanted to give those job opportunities to white Americans, and they did not want to spend New Deal government dollars on Mexican-American citizens. So the easy solution was, let's deport them. Let's literally go in and sweep them up. Over 1.8 million. Again, California was a quarter of the size that it is now. So this is a massive population shift. And literally scoop people up. Over a half of the people deported, quote unquote deported, were U.S. citizens.
Talk about that.
And they were, well, so what happens is, I mean, a lot of these were children because they were born here as the children of undocumented, of illegal aliens, undocumented immigrants, but not all of them. In fact, there were hundreds of thousands of adults who had been here some generationally that would do farm work as a living. But when you're doing something on the scale of a military operation to remove hundreds of thousands of people, you're not stopping to ask people in an orderly process to provide a documentation on who you are. And more often than not, you're not carrying your birth certificate with you to prove that you're an American citizen. So they would pick people up literally, put them in cages in the back of trucks, put them onto trains, and then they would process them when they got to Mexico. They would then ask, once you were in another country, where are you an American citizen? Where's your documentation? Of course, most of these people don't have any documentation because who carries their birth certificate with them when they're going out to do field work? Right. So a lot of these citizens were then sent very, very deep into Mexico because there were farming interests on the Mexican side of the border that wanted that labor too, and they didn't want them returning immediately back up to the Central Valley of California to compete with white Americans to deal with that labor shortage there. So when you're talking about what the Trump administration is currently talking about, which is they're claiming they want to deport 20 million people, which would have devastating economic impacts, let alone human impacts, but would completely shut down the U.S. economy. But even if you did it in a scale back way, the way J.D. Vance suggested on the campaign trail, which is let's just do a million or so a year, you are now talking about a mass deportation event. This isn't like the deportation numbers under Biden or Trump or Obama or George Herbert Walker Bush, you know, where the, you know, deportations have gone up or down based off of immigration flows. This is legitimately a, quote, mass deportation event. And it is impossible to not sweep up U.S. citizens and or break up families of U.S. citizen children in this process.
So how they did it back in the 30s was literally they went and they just put people into the back of the vans and brought them to Mexico and said, see ya.
Soldiers showed up to fields and manufacturing places, processing plants, armed soldiers, and they stopped work, loaded people onto trucks. Those trucks went to train stations. They loaded people up onto trains, and those trains then went down to Mexico to move them out of the country, at which point questions were then asked. Now let's start processing and asking what's going on. So you can imagine, again, too, in the 1930s, there are huge family separation events at this time, too. A lot of younger children were not in the fields working. Some were, incidentally. Okay, child labor law is very different.
Yeah.
But some of those children were at home, maybe with an extended family or with a mother or with an older sibling overlooking them, and their parents were just disappeared. They were gone for weeks until they could either find their way back or government services could kind of help them navigate their way going forward.
I think one of the things that stuck out from your article was when you kind of took a mental pause and talked about your mentor.
Yeah.
Tell that story.
There's a famous, iconic person. A lot of people know who Cesar Chavez was, who's the leader of the Farm Workers Union. But there's a man who I think holds a much greater place in Mexican-American history. His name was Cruz Reynoso. Cruz Reynoso was the first Mexican-American Supreme Court justice here in California. And he was a tireless advocate for the farm worker. He was one of eight children. Cruz's parents were farm workers. And he was an infant when his family was deported in this mass deportation. So his family was literally uprooted. He was an American citizen. His brothers and sisters were U.S. citizens. One of his parents was not. But that was enough to kind of just round people up and scoop them up and kind of move the entire family down. Upon his return, and a lot of people don't know much about this story either, but there were Mexican schools, which means that we had segregated schools throughout the South.
I got Mike Madrid. We're going to continue that story in just a moment here on the Rational Revolution. I want to pick that back up right after this here.